In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. No, I am not Father Brian. He hasn't aged that much, okay? It is a privilege to be here, but I'm sorry about the circumstances. He is very ill with, apparently, the flu. And we clergy don't tend to handle things that way particularly well. We tell others, but we don't do it. And so sometimes the spouse has to say, you need to stay in bed, you know? You need to drink plenty of water. I need to take your temperature again and make sure things go right. So Susan, great job, okay? And speaking of great jobs, Matt, that hymn was just wonderful, wasn't it? You know what that hymn is, don't you? It's the Song of Mary. It's based on the Song of Mary that Deacon Denise read. My soul magnifies the Lord. Oh, the lessons for today are just terrific. I am in the process of studying the Old Testament books of 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Have any of you done that recently? I doubt it. I haven't either until now. I have a wonderful book here that I'm using. It's by Walter Brueggemann, who is a great Old Testament scholar. And I have had a good time reading the stories of Samuel and David and Saul and those great characters. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But the thing I have come away from reading this is God is a surprise. God is a surprise. Over and over and over. See, I've got a little more to read. I've got to finish it by January the 5th. Because I have to start this one on the 6th, okay? This one is the Episcopal Bible Fellowship is using the book of Romans to read during the whole Epiphany season, which starts on the 6th. So I got the commentary that is really going to be good. So maybe I'll get to preach some then. Who knows? In 1 Samuel is a story I learned as a child. I was raised in the Baptist church, and we learned these stories. And it is a wonderful one. It's about a young boy. His name is Samuel. Samuel was dedicated by his parents in gratitude to God. He was dedicated to serve in the temple, an assistant to the old priest, Eli. One night, while Samuel was sleeping in the temple, he heard a voice calling him by name. And he rushed to the bedside of Eli and he said, I'm here, what do you need? I heard you calling. Eli was half awake and he shooed him away, said, go back, I didn't call you. But again the voice comes, Samuel, Samuel. And he runs again, it has to be Eli. But Eli says, forget it. Get back in bed, man. And then Eli begins to think, I need to tell him. That's God calling him. So sure enough, the voice comes again. And Samuel goes to Eli, and Eli says, Samuel, go back and listen very carefully and tell God, you are here and you are listening. Now, this is the story of a child. And God had great things for this child as he grew up to do. Great responsibilities. And 1 Samuel tells all about that. Okay, but there's another story in Samuel. I have to tell you these. They're just wonderful stories. And I told this one in Godly Play. There wasn't a format for it. I had to make it up. But the kids really seemed to engage it. It was just great. This is a great story. Samuel, who is grown now and has a lot of responsibility, says, or he listens to God, and God says, you have got to go to Bethlehem. Okay, we're hearing that name some now in this season, aren't we? Bethlehem? You have got to go to Bethlehem because there is a man there who has a number of sons, and I am going to show you which one is to be the king of Israel. There's a lot to this story which I'm not going to tell you. But Samuel was a little hesitant to go. He didn't like the idea too much, but he was obedient and he went. So he arrives in Bethlehem. He meets the dad whose name is Jesse. Didn't we sing about the Jesse tree in the hymn this morning? O come, Emmanuel. Yeah. He meets this man named Jesse. And Jesse and his sons are there. And so Samuel says, I'm here to pick the king of Israel from one of these young men. So he starts and stands before the first one. God says to Samuel, nope, not him. So he goes to the next one. God says, nope, he's not the one. And he goes to the third one, and the same response. And on down the line, all through the sons, God says, thumbs down. This bewilders Samuel. And then he asks Jesse the question, are there any more kids? And Jesse says, yes, the runt of the litter. He's out taking care of the sheep. He's just a young thing. Not important. Samuel says, I'm not leaving till you bring him here before me. And so they go and bring David out of the fields. And God says, yes, stand up. Bless him. Pour oil on his head. And this is what the Bible says about it. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. Do you see the pattern here? God coming to some of the most unlikely people and calling them in service to God. You hear that pattern? It goes into our New Testament. The same kind of thing. God is a surprise. We heard in the gospel this morning, Elizabeth, who the Bible says was along in years. We get the hint, right? She's pregnant. She's pregnant with a son, and he will be known as John the Baptist. And then there is Mary, a young girl. She's engaged to a man named Joseph. She lives in a little podunk town. I mean little podunk. No McDonald's. No Wi-Fi. That's right, they didn't have those in that day, did they? Well, if it had been available, they wouldn't have had it. That's the kind of place she lived in, okay? Nazareth. God sends the angel Gabriel. Sends the angel Gabriel to Mary, of all people, telling her that she's going to give birth to a son. She will name him Jesus. And listen to this. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor, David. And what was Mary's response? Here I am. Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Be it unto me as you will. Do you hear that commitment? That commitment, be it unto me according to your will. God is a surprise. We have to watch out. There's a St. Mary's church in a little town in North Carolina. And one day, an artist showed up, talked to the priest. He said, I've been to Italy to learn how to do fresco paintings. And in case you don't know what fresco painting is, and I don't claim to be an expert on it, but it is a painting that is done on wet plaster. And the colors are put on it, and the lime and the plaster and the paint mix, and it gives the figures almost a three-dimensional look. It is fantastic. The only thing is you can't make any mistakes because there it's stuck there once it's dry, okay? Okay, so he came and he said, I want to do some frescoes for this little church. The church is about the size of our chapel. The center has a larger Gothic arch, and then there are two smaller Gothic arches on the side up at the front. And in each one of those, this painter did a fresco. The middle one is the crucifixion. The one on the right is John the Baptist. The one on the left is Mary. And Mary is the one that gets all of attention. There she is. There she is. Can you tell she is pregnant? You know, not many portrayals of Mary show her as being really pregnant. This is unique. I love it. I love it. I wonder what it would be like if every church had this in front of them when they came to worship every Sunday. Mary standing there, full of life. You see, Mary is the prototype for us as Christians. She is the prototype. She shows us the way to be available to God. Be it unto me according, God, to your will. You and I, like Mary, are to be bearers of Jesus Christ in the world. Faithful to God in bearing, embodying the life and love known to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the call that comes to each of us. This announcement to Mary was startling. And you know what? God doesn't back off from startling people. And he can come and startle you and me and the whole church. Now, I know we don't like startling, but God has God's own ways, okay? The scene made her nervous. We can allow her that, I guess. Would you be nervous if it had happened to you? I'm going to tell you. Just out of my personal experience, I have often not been like her. My excuse has been, I'm not qualified. I am not qualified. And I have found that God doesn't pay attention to that. It suddenly dawned on me after I retired, 2 days or 3 days after I retired, the head coach of the Brandon Sports and Aquatic Center came to me. I was in Master of Swimming there, came to me and said, Steve, you're retired now. I'd like you to become a coach. I thought he was kidding. I went home and told Gail, I said, I don't know what is the matter with Peter saying that. I went back to him the next day and said, Peter, you were kidding me, weren't you? He said, I was dead serious. And I said, I am not qualified. And he said, I know you're not. But you're going to walk beside me, and I am going to teach you. And I look back at my life. At the times, I was very hesitant to do something that I felt would be overwhelming, I wasn't qualified for, or whatever, like this morning, too, for instance. And as the swim coach said to me, the Lord has been with me to guide me along. And sometimes I even paid attention. Mary's response is, here I am, your servant. Be it unto me according to your will. You know, I also wonder how God is going to break through and call me to something new, or call you to something new. Perhaps to give you a new vision and show you how to touch the world in some way that others will know the love of God. I wonder, what does God have for me to do now? I'm kind of up in years now. Will he let me go for a while? I wonder for you too. I wonder for the church. We, the body of Christ, we are called to embody the life and love and ministry of Jesus Christ. Those of you who know me know I love the hymns of the church, the hymns. And there's a line in one of them that I want to close with. It's a prayer to God. Come, abide within me. Let my soul, like Mary, be thine earthly sanctuary. Is that what you want? I think it is, isn't it? That's what you want? We want. Come, abide within me. Let my soul, like Mary, be thine earthly sanctuary. Amen.